Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A nurse was forced to participate in murder despite her clearly articulated religious objections. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber and Holly Mead. Well, a Vermont hospital tragically violated a nurse's conscience last year. The story has now broke because of the Department of Health and Human Services' action against the University of Vermont Medical Center. That's the center where this nurse worked, and she was forced to participate, Matt, in an abortion, despite the fact that she has specifically documented her religious and moral objections. The hospital didn't care. They had alternative nurses that they could have used, but instead, they forced her, upon threat of termination, to participate in the murder of an innocent child.
Unbelievable conscience violation, unbelievable violation of the First Amendment, right? Freedom of religious expression to compel. And we've talked about before how we're moving on from the government silencing speech to forcing people to engage in certain activities and certain behavior. In this case, it's not the government, but to have this hospital compel this nurse to become complicit in abortion homicide, it defies words.
It really does. I mean, here's this woman. I wish I could tell you that she was brave enough to ultimately accept termination rather than participate in an abortion. But she ultimately succumbed to the pressure. You never know what you would do in that situation. I know what I would do, but, you know, I'm not in that particular nurse's situation. But she succumbed to the pressure. She was told by the doctor that if she walked out, that she would be terminated. And of course, termination would mean in Vermont, she wouldn't be able to be a nurse in the hospital anymore. It could have ruined not only her job there, but her career. And I understand, I would have done a different approach to it. I would have just walked out, but she didn't. But what she did do is the information came to light, and that's the good news. And as a result of that, the Office of Human Rights, which is part of the Department of Health and Human Services under the Trump administration, has now intervened, and that's how this story broke. That's why we know it this year, but it actually happened last year, because this year, the Department of Health and Human Services, the Office of Human Rights, has gotten involved. They've issued the University of Vermont Medical Center Hospital an ultimatum, and that ultimatum is change your discriminatory policies within 30 days or no longer receive federal funds. That will be devastating to any hospital, certainly this medical center associated with the University of Vermont. So I am sure that this hospital will capitulate and ultimately accommodate religious freedom so that this doesn't happen again.
You know, and she was lied to. She had helped, as a Catholic nurse, obviously very pro-life, and she had helped in the past with a D&C procedure, which is where the tissue is scraped from the uterus for a variety of reasons.
Usually a miscarriage.
Exactly. So she believed that she was going to be helping with another one of those. But when she walked into the room, the doctor said, please don't hate me. But what was going on was an elective abortion. And so, like you said earlier, Matt, she feared for her job, and she felt coerced to participate in this murder of this child.
So they brought her in under false pretense,
exactly,
thinking that this would have been a spontaneous miscarriage,
right,
and they needed to go in to make sure that the uterus was scraped and clean, that there were no body parts still there or remnants of the baby before that spontaneous abortion took place. Because if that were the case, you would have sepsis that would come into play. And so with a spontaneous miscarriage, they want to make sure that there's no tissue that is left body parts that are left.
Yeah, so couldn't you imagine this nurse? I mean, the kind of pressure she must have felt in that moment. What do I do? What do I do? You know, when the doctor's saying, well,
so the
you've
doctor actually says, please don't hate me.
Right.
But
I mean,
this is an elective abortion.
Though she had made it clear in her record she would not participate in that.
Well, and he knew. He knew it
exactly.
By saying, please don't hate me. This is an elective abortion.
Well, exactly. And the, you know, the fact that the government has and the Trump administration has rebuked, you know, the hospital and said, don't ever do this again. If this is all true, if all the evidence pans out, that's not enough. People need to be held accountable.
They need to be held accountable.
This doctor should be
this.
Fired. Yeah, he should be sanctioned. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Yeah, this is unbelievable. They all need to be held accountable. But at least one of the things that is happening, which I'm thankful for, I'm thankful that this is not the Obama administration. I'm thankful that this is not some of the even previous Republican administrations that talked pro-life, but they didn't do pro-life. They said pro-life things, but under the Trump administration, there has been a transformation within the Department of Health and Human Services and the Office of Human Rights to the point where there have been a number of pro-life rules and regulations, policies that have come out designed to protect individuals for their religious and conscience rights not to be forced to participate in abortion. And in fact, before this actually happened, earlier last year and this year, there have been efforts by the Department of Health and Human Services to put out rules and regulations. The hospital should have known this. The staff should have been aware of it, that specifically apply to these situations. And they allow objecting healthcare providers, which is a nurse, of course, to opt out of performing or participating in abortion. Yeah. And there are consequences for the employers when they don't honor that. And this also would include, for example, pharmacists, when somebody comes as a pharmacist and they want to have
the abortion
pill. And the pharmacist says, I can't disperse that because it's dispersing a poison that they know the purpose of which is to kill a child.
Yeah. And here's an example with this nurse. I mean, she'd scrubbed and was, you know, went in the room and she learned the doctor, when she learned that the doctor was performing an abortion, she was reluctant to leave because she believed that abandoning a patient could jeopardize her own license. And when she asked a coworker, could she please be replaced? She was told no.
Unbelievable. You know, there's an interesting, not interesting in a positive way, parallel here. You notice how it's the pro-abortions, the radical LGBT activists, those on the left, when it comes to the what I call the culture of death, taking life, that theirs is not enough to silence dissent. They have to compel other peoples to engage in the sins that they are pushing so desperately. The baker, the florist, you know, the photographer, the hospital nurse here now with abortion. There's just you'd never see, at least I haven't, people who represent a conservative ideology trying to compel others to do something against their will.
Yeah, this is dark, it's demonic, and we have raised the clarion call a number of years ago about what's coming. And we've used the analogy that we've been to the top of the mountain, we see what's on the other side, and we're trying to warn what's about to take place, that this is not a movement of tolerance, whether it's abortion or whether it's the LGBT agenda. But this is one of absolute dominance. It's a competitive worldview that is fueled by darkness and from the very pits of hell. This is taking innocent human life. This is killing, murdering innocent children who are made in the image of God. And they're not content. Darkness is not content with just allowing you to have an objection and stand on the sideline and not interfere. They want you to participate in their sin, in their evil.
Misery loves company. If they're going to have blood on their hands, they want you having blood on your hands as well.
It's insatiable. So, you know, we need to stand up to this dark effort to push this murderous abortion mentality across the country. I am so thankful that under the Trump administration, with the directive of the president, that the Department of Health and Human Services has issued these pro-life regulations, clearly indicating that conscience rights, religious liberty rights regarding abortion will be protected, and also stating the consequences for these employers that receive any kind of federal funds, as this hospital certainly does. And, you know, frankly, I would almost, this hospital is going to have to change. Otherwise, it's going to lose millions of dollars in federal funding. That includes Medicaid, Medicare, all of this. So thankful for that resolution there. But stand for life. Don't get weary. Now is our time. We were birthed for this moment. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776.